This episode of Totes Recall is sponsored by Terrible Origami in space.
Or not.
Pew, pew.
Your choice.
Pew, pew.
Could you do origami in space? Like in zero gravity?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be hard to get a nice fold, though?
Yeah.
You fold it against itself.
Yeah, but like...
You can... Like,
but, like, wouldn't certain, some of those folds, like, wouldn't they just sort of start to unravel? Because isn't, like, there an assist with gravity sometimes with some of them?
No, because it's the pressure of it is coming from the paper itself. It's not gravity that's, like, creating a fold. But if you, like, are using your fingers, that's, like, putting a force against
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay.
But then would you
okay,
spin
hot
off into
shot.
Space?
But what if the paper starts, like, floating in a weird direction that you're not prepared for while you're trying to fold it?
Home of the Million Dollar Frog.
Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we don't remember very well. We watch that movie. And eat space pizza, and then watch the movie, and then talk about it
there
again.
You know. Good.
I already forgot what I had already said.
Yep.
My name is Dan.
Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And Beth.
And our movie is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Episode 4, the first one, A New Hope.
Yes.
Journey to the stars. Rock and roll guitar.
That's not in it.
That's a song by April Wine, classic Canadian rock band.
In honor of episode 7 coming out.
Sometime around this time.
Very soon.
Or before.
Possibly today.
Today.
Is that how this works? I don't even know. I actually don't know when that episode's coming out.
We'll see. It's the future.
Right?
Maybe it'll get canceled.
Oh my god, that'd be
episode
amazing.
Seven, and instead people will have
what
to listen
an incredible
to this episode.
Troll.
J.J. Abrams is just like, I didn't make a movie after all, I just made a trailer. Black people in it, so you guys will be mad. And
right.
We'll flush out all the racists.
Yeah. And then Disney is like, that was our plan all along.
Yeah.
Anyway, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Previously known as simply Star Wars, because not everything was already a franchise back in the 70s.
It's true.
So it was in the 70s. What year do we think?
Oh, boy.
I know one of the original three came out the year my brother was born in 1978.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely wasn't the third one.
Right.
Yeah, no. The third one came out when I would have had the opportunity to fall in love with Ewoks.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
I think this one is not the 78. I'm going to go 75.
Oof.
I'm going to say 76.
I'm going to say 77.
I think I know the answer to it.
So just say it and be right.
Well, because I think I saw it on the box, but I think it's 77.
Oh. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
77. I wonder if I'm wrong about 78 completely.
Wow,
because I thought my mom had said, like, oh, you saw this movie, but you were in utero to my brother.
But maybe they went to see it. Maybe they saw it later.
Oh, yeah.
But in the theater.
Well, like, second round. It was very popular.
When in 78 was he born?
October.
Okay, so that's 10 months, so it would have had to be.
Yeah.
So, okay, got it. Math.
Is he really your brother?
Maybe he's my father.
Oh!
Not in this movie at all.
Spoilers
for a franchise several decades old.
Yeah. I saw this movie, I don't know, I'm sure my dad showed it to me at some point, was like, hey, check out this movie, it's the greatest movie of all time, and everybody thinks so, and we watched it, and I probably liked it, because these movies are good for kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's some chance that I saw the, whichever the one with the Ewoks was.
The third one.
Not this
the sixth one.
One.
Return
sixth
of the
Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, episode 6.
Episode
the third one.
Six.
Correct. Look, it's not my fault. I didn't do it that way.
It's so dumb.
So that one, I'm pretty sure I saw in a theater situation, and then I worked my way backwards.
Sure.
So it would have been many years. I remember being really scared by The Empire Strikes Back, and then my big memory. Okay, is this the one where Darth Vader's helmet comes off and he's all slimy underneath?
No. That's the third one.
That's like...
What do you mean he's
that's
slimy?
That's like almost the end of all three of them.
Yeah. That's what I remember.
That's like the big conclusion, like the entire
series.
It's
like, oh, it's not James Earl Jones after all.
Oh, is that's Yoda in this one?
No.
Really?
What?
Guys.
At all?
Oh, this... Bummertown. Let's watch
we should,
a different movie.
I feel like we should preface this whole episode with... We're not huge Star Wars fans, right?
I like Star Wars.
We like Star Wars, but there's people who are like obsessed with it, and they're going to be mad at this episode.
I thought that's why we were doing it.
Okay. Yeah,
somebody has probably already turned it off since we didn't know the year it came out.
I just want people to
are
know.
Are you kidding me?
All episodes, but especially this one, we don't pretend like we know what we're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the entire premise of our podcast.
Well, and this episode is the absolute favorite of my 11-year-old nephew.
Episode 4? So.
Yes.
The first one?
Weird.
Yeah. He's not into the Phantom Menace.
Well, good. Well, but that's fine.
But kids of nowadays do really like those prequels.
Yeah.
Because
they're just goofball movies.
And they're fun and colorful.
Yeah.
I get it. If I was 6 when, like, the second one came out and there were a bunch of bugs or whatever.
It's just like a funny duck creature flapping his ears.
All the most recent movies are, like, as exciting as a mortgage payment, right? Like... There's a council that meets, and there's a lot of like laws that are being made. It's super boring.
But there's a dude with face spikes who's got a double lightsaber.
Guys, we're talking about the wrong we're talking about the wrong trilogy, let alone the wrong movie.
All right. This movie's
I saw the movie.
Oh, right.
That's fine. No, let's just alienate the other half of the podcast, you guys. Now that Molly and Dan have said their piece.
Go ahead, Dan.
I saw this movie sometime. I actually don't know if I saw this first. I might have worked backwards like Molly did. Because I watched these movies a ton when I was a kid. But I watched this one the least. Because I think it was the least... It just had the... It didn't... It. I don't remember if it's just not as good. It probably isn't. But it just lacked a lot of the like fun elements of later movies.
I don't think it's as flashy.
Yeah, well...
Is Jabba the Hutt in this
one?
Gosh.
Really?
No.
That's not... Well, if you...
Right. We also should say...
This is original cut.
We're watching...
Wait, then I can tell you where I got mine.
Oh, go ahead, Beth. Oh,
wait, did I... You want to finish saying when you watched yours?
I think I pretty much just said like vague childhood.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Really we're watching tonight on... a VCR with my VHS tape version of Star Wars, which I got, I believe, as a gift when my brother was born.
Wow.
My dad took me to the movie store, and he was like, you can get a movie. And he's like, you would like this one. And that was, like, my movie that I got.
They got any movie you want, especially this one. All right, and we're done.
Especially this one that I would probably watch with you.
But then I did love it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the other two movies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But... This one I've seen a lot, I think many more times than the other ones.
That's fascinating to me.
But I always thought Princess Leia was really cool because she was like a lady who fought.
Sassy.
Yeah.
She was like the...
Yeah, she's sassy.
She's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 She stands up to Darth Vader.
She stands up to everybody.
Yeah.
It's kick ass.
Yeah, I wonder if people understand what a very literal influence that is on girls, or at least it was for me. Like, even watching Voltron, the fact that there was a princess character, was one of the characters, was what hooked me into that. And it was, I wanted to be princess character because she was
a
fighter.
Did the princess in Voltron have a Voltron?
Yes, she's one of the...
Were they all royalty?
No.
Okay. She just happened to be royalty.
She just happened to be a princess who wore pink and was a fighter.
And
I don't remember
robot.
She was very good at it.
Well.
But that was really important. So Princess Leia was way better than that.
How much of that does she give up with sexy slave Leia happening?
Ooh. That's kind of a bummer, right?
There's a whole...
Like, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to be play devil's advocate, but...
Oh, you were going to interrupt Beth in order to be devil's advocate for why that's not sexist?
No, I'm not saying it's not sexist. Just, never mind.
I think, she's kind of BA in the first one, and then the sexy outfit is the second one?
Third one.
That's the third one?
Yeah.
What happened to the second one?
Guys, the second one's the best one.
The Empire Strikes Back.
It strikes back hard.
Oh, if you guys would have asked me just now which order it went in... Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
You think it ends with Striking Back?
Ooh, that'd be a downer. That'd be like
the Jedi returns in the second one.
And then he gets struck on?
He gets struck on.
Right.
And then the third one, the Empire Strikes Back.
That's insane. What? That's like, that'd be such a downer ending.
Doesn't that imply that the Empire wins?
Yeah.
No. It just means that they attempt to win.
Well, they attempt to win in all three.
Yeah.
Well, point is, who cares?
Yeah, I can see that. I'll go with Beth on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Molly.
That the order that is right is incorrect?
No, no. I can see why that would work.
Any of the titles, I mean, really, like, any of the titles to his movies could work since, like, especially with the later trilogy, like, they're so vague and, like, barely actually touch on what happens within the film.
I don't even remember episode 2 and 3's subtitle.
Right.
In Lord of the Rings, the king returns in the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a point being made. Things can return.
But the point of the point of the title. All right, I'm going to actually get on the side of the nerds that already turned this off. As well. The reason the third one is called Return of the Jedi, Beth, is because Luke Skywalker at that point becomes a fully fledged Jedi by defeating his the Emperor and bringing his father back to the light side of the Force, therefore balancing out whatever vague bullshit they said in the second one.
So in that case, the Return of the Jedi is the return of Darth Vader to his Jedi self.
It's kind
of
both, yeah. There's like a little layers to it.
Well, because Luke Skywalker didn't go anywhere, did he? Or did he? Is that the whole point of the second movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
He goes to Swampland.
That's where he trains, right?
Right, but conflict of the second one is that he leaves before his training is complete, so he's not technically a Jedi when he leaves. He's just a hothead with a lightsaber. None of that happens in the movie we're going to watch.
Let's go back to...
This is my concern.
We open on...
Tatooine.
I think or space. On the ship.
Space.
No, space.
It was a big deal.
The big spaceship.
Yeah, that's why it was like a huge... That's why the first like cultural touchstone of the series was the first shot is that gigantic-ass spaceship coming down your cinema screen... And blowing people's minds.
Wait, this is the Death Star.
No.
This is a Star Destroyer.
Sure. Right?
Okay.
Oh, the Death Star is under construction, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Does that happen in this movie?
It happens in two movies.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe in the seventh one. It's weird. Whatever.
Because that's when we see Leia.
Yes.
It's like the cold open of the movie.
Yes.
Is Leia...
Except that there's a whole expository crawl of words before the scene.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Angle words.
Big deal, angle words.
Big deal.
Because Leia's, like, talking to R2-D2.
Yep.
And is like...
Oh, you're my last hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
You're our only hope.
Yes.
yeah, she basically uses R2 like a... I don't know, like a BlackBerry or something. Just like, I need to dictate a message.
Yeah, she's Snapchatting Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's more like a Vine, because it gets played over and over again.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. And, well, right. But can they play it again? Doesn't he, like, break?
It breaks, but that's not a function of the app.
Well, that's true. It's because he got filled with... He got full of sand and beat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww, he's so cute. R2.
And then she gives sass to Lord Vader.
Which is... Which we don't realize at the time, but once you watch the whole trilogy, that's super BA, because he's supposed to be, like, the biggest bad motherfucker in the galaxy.
Yeah.
But then he destroys her home planet.
That is
so
sad.
I mean, he definitely, like, strikes back, shall we say.
He just strikes.
But and he actually strikes do that.
Back in the third one.
Well, he doesn't even do it. It's the other guy who's weirdly more in charge in the first movie.
The commander guy, right?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Wait,
that is not a real name.
No, he's
none of them are real names!
Wait, the dude, the like...
In this movie, Vader has, like, a supervisor, and it's this dude. He's, like, the general admiral of the whole space fleet.
He's wearing a uniform.
Yeah, because he's, like, head of the military.
In the first movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's his boss?
Kinda.
Well, he's, like, not in the military.
He's, like, a weird... He's, like, if... Okay. If, like...
Is Darth Vader then, like, the Secretary of State, a civilian?
It's sort of like if
Secretary
we...
Secretary of Defense.
Darth Vader is like if
he might be like
we...
Vice President.
I think it's like if... Darth Vader is like if the President of the United States, like, conscripted whatever the highest Catholic authority in the United States is into the government and just sort of, like, had them be, like, an active component into the running of society.
Sure.
Because Darth Vader is, like, sort of a weird religious warrior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of the Force.
He's like a crusader. It's like if someone like hired a crusader to like be in the upper echelons of your military slash government.
But that's like letting the fox into the hen house, right? Am I right?
Church and state.
Yeah.
Think about it, Emperor.
I think there's even a line in this where he's like, I think there's even a line where sharp featured boss, that's all I remember about his face is amazing.
It's very angular my God. Face.
He pretty much just like calls him out on that. It's just like, you like follow a bunch of bullshit gobbledygook and it's dumb. I have lasers.
And then he space strangles him?
I think he threatens to space strangle somebody. Yeah, or maybe he actually straight up strangles somebody.
Oh, he definitely strangles someone.
Does he do it in this one?
But he's it's a space strangle. Oh, yes. It is.
We should make some bets, right?
Yeah.
I bet that happens.
Space strangle happens in this one?
Yeah.
Because he definitely space strangles like, a ton of dudes in the second one.
It's one of the like military guys. Yeah. They're in like a meeting.
Yeah.
Is this the garbage chute one?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, really? I have seen this.
You found something fun.
Oh. Yes.
And you actually remember the movie.
That's the fun part of this movie.
Yeah. Right?
Because they're like, they have to rescue Leia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because they get the message.
Yeah. And then she's sass about it, and it's great.
Yeah.
She's total sass.
Well, total sass.
But then, so after that first scene on the ship, then it cuts to Tatooine.
Yes.
Is that the name of the planet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
And Luke is there with his aunt and uncle.
Yes, and he's a whiny baby.
Yeah, he's a real turd.
He's a real turd at the beginning. It's actually kind of funny.
But then he's like friends with C-3. I mean, he's not friends with them. But
he buys them.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. They're slaves.
Okay.
Or they're like, it's like a used car lot for droids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they buy them from the Jawas.
Yeah.
Who I always thought were really cool.
Right? They've got, like, flashlight eyes.
Oh, are those the sand?
There's a lot of sand things.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the one like where he cuts open the animal for
no,
warmth?
That's no, that's the second
no.
one.
Oh,
this
man.
Is like Batman again.
They have, like brown cloaks on and red glow
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, they look
right?
kind of like that wizard guy from He-Man, except...
Oh, Orko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that.
Yeah.
I just want to say...
Or, no, not a black wizard from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
They have a pointy hat.
Well, so does Orko.
Yeah, but it's flopped over adorably.
Jawas don't. Jawas.
No, they wear hoods.
I think they have kind of like a pointed hood.
Sure. Anyway, Luke has... yeah, they believe in the purity of the Tatooine races. And then Luke has like sort of a Marty McFly, Doc Brown relationship with Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is
yes.
known as Ben Kenobi because he is hiding in exile... hiding his Jedi nature because Darth Vader is hunting, well, was hunting them down years ago, but now he's just, like, hanging
yeah.
out.
He's just like a old sand kook.
Yeah.
Lives out
yes.
in the...
sand.
He's a wisdom character.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Played sure. by the delightful Al Guinness.
Who regrets doing this movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He,
that's amazing.
Has an illustrious career.
He does. Mm-hmm. He's great.
He's dead now. He had an
right.
illustrious career.
He was. Is amazing. Actor.
And then, but then he, like, after he did this, like, that's all anybody knew. It was like,
right.
oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like, no. Bridge over the River Kwai.
Yeah, like, look at all these great movies I was in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, that's what I heard.
That's a
bummer. Sure someone's either agreeing or disagreeing.
Okay,
yeah.
is this the movie where there's a scene where the stormtroopers are running through the hall and one of them hits his head?
Ooh, maybe.
Ooh.
Do you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Goofs? Are we talking goofs?
We're talking
yeah.
goofs.
I think.
Well, it definitely
maybe?
Wouldn't be edited out, right? Because this is one
no,
of the originals.
This
so,
is on VHS.
I would like to make
Beth
a Molly
Beth is very
bet.
Excited about the
VHS. Oh, and Ooh. We never talked about how... So the reason that the VHS is exciting is because they updated the movie...
Oh, right.
In like...
97,
and they added a whole other scene. So in that one... A
couple of scenes.
It has...
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Like a
yeah.
really weirdly 90s CGI Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. I remember I saw that, went back, because it re-released in the theaters,
mm-hmm.
and went and saw it, and I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
weird.
Also, is this when they changed who shot first?
Yes.
The controversy
yes.
of...
Han Solo
or Greedo
right.
shooting first.
So this VHS tape ostensibly should have the original, like, I guess, preferred version of Han just straight up murdering that dude.
Oh, is that what that debate is about?
Yeah.
yeah.
It's because during the... When they redid it, it changed.
In the because mm-hmm. in the redo, like Greedo, the alien,
oh, yeah.
shoots him and he like cocks his head and dodges the laser and then it's just like and then shoots him back.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
okay.
in this one he has the Rogue's instinct to know that Greedo is holding a blaster under the table and shoots
it first. Yeah, I've never understood that, and that makes sense. Because I never saw the release.
The argument for why it's better that he shoots first, I believe, is that it sets up a better arc for him where he goes at this rogue who would just straight up murder someone.
Yeah, like he's an asshole.
Yeah, by the end of the trilogy, he's, I don't know, banging people's sisters. And
well, but he's like, he's become an active official member of the Rebel Alliance. He has chosen, he's decided to take a side and take a stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of just murdering people in cantinas.
Yeah, instead of just hanging out in dive bars and desert planets with his Wookiee friend.
Yeah. Oh, this has the cantina.
Yeah, right? Oh, amazing.
Another fact I heard about this that maybe is right or not is did the cantina and, like, George Lucas was sick or something? Something about, like, he would not have approved for the music.
Oh.
And it, like, slipped by him or something.
Huh.
And it was like, well, it's in there, but it's great, right?
Yeah, it is great.
It's great.
Ooh, that's a real vague fact.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's tweet at us.
What with dat?
What with dat cantina song.
This movie and the whole trilogy, which is something that was severely lacking in the new trilogy, for at least for this man-child, is that the first trilogy's Muppet game is on point. There are some grade A Muppets happening all over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Mr.
Huh?
Guy? What's the...
Whoa! For the listener, or something.
Like some...
Who's the little... He's got a fun name. He's like a little rat. Maybe he's Jabba's friend in a different movie.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's his name? It's got a fun name.
It doesn't matter. The point is, the best Muppet... I'll tell you why it doesn't matter. Because the best Muppet and the best character in the entire trilogy... This is where I'll piss off the nerds. Mm-hmm. The best character in the entire trilogy is and Jabba's past in the third one, which is Max Rebo, the blue elephant playing the keyboards.
That is a great character.
But he is not in this movie. Again, this is the one I've watched the least, because I think it has... It's sorely lacking in a lot of the fun elements we remember about these... Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's got the cantina and
it's
garbage
got fun.
Pressure.
I'm not saying it doesn't have fun stuff, and I hope to God it still has fun stuff. Because like I said, I watched this one the least, but it has no Lando Calrissian, no Max Rebo, no Yoda,
no Boba Fett yet, right?
Correct.
Aha, I got one right.
Yeah.
Which one is the one where Han Solo is like in the
second one.
Oh, second
That's
one.
The second one. Okay. Yeah.
Carbonite.
Carbonite.
Yeah.
Cool.
This one is like this one is much more Luke-centric in terms of, like, the actual narrative arc of the movie. Because it's just sort of like, let's get this guy to a point where you can believe that he can actually accomplish all these things he's supposed to accomplish since he was just, like, a whiny teen on a desert planet at the beginning.
So jumping back to the story.
Yeah.
His aunt and uncle get murdered.
Yep.
Yes.
Because the Empire is trying to find R2-D2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's got... The Snapchat Vine on it.
It's got, well, and it's got the plans to the Death Star.
Oh, yeah. It's got secret codes.
Yeah. Oh.
Because Luke's off, like, sand play. He's off having a play date with Ben Kenobi, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Or racing a scooter.
He, like, got grumpy because I think he had to go run an errand or something and then, like, ran into Kenobi.
Does he, is this, like, Home Alone where he wishes his parents were dead?
Oh, probably.
I think he is mad at them. He, like, leaves
definitely mad
angrily
at them. Oh,
and then comes back and then they're, like, just, like...
Gone. Burnt.
Fried.
Yeah.
Skeletons.
Dark. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they go into a sand cave or something and train, right? Not really.
No.
But he has that visor thing on and there's that, like, floating
ball. Yeah.
Later.
That's on the Millennium Falcon.
That's once they've already hired Han Solo to get them off of Tatooine.
Oh, right. They go to the cantina because Obi-Wan said, we got to get out of here.
Oh, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, because he realizes, they're looking for this droid. We got to get off. We got to get out of Dodge.
Because I haven't understood the plot of this movie ever. Just now it's like, oh, that's why they're looking
all
for the droids.
All you really
droids.
Need to know.
They're trying to
Darth
save
Vader
Leia.
Bad.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, at the end, they blow up the Death Star.
At the end of this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why, and then the last two, they're fixing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Well,
yeah. This one
they're building another one.
Yeah.
This is the one where they're all, they wear like those like orange jumpsuits and they're in the like Starfighters.
Yeah.
X-Wing.
Do you want to watch The Last Starfighter instead?
I've never seen
it's
Star
too late,
Wars.
Man.
That would be so good.
Is it?
Probably not. Probably good though.
But I do remember the ending of this movie.
Yeah. It's iconic.
Yes.
Oh, like when they get the medals.
Olympics. Oh, no.
Like the part where it blows up.
Well, the part where he decides not to trust his instruments, but to trust his instinct.
Yeah.
Because this is just like AKA on Tatooine, where he blows up sand rabbits or whatever.
Wampin'.
The Force.
Sand rats.
The Force. He uses
the Force. Yes. Luke.
Instead of technology.
Yeah. Who's talking to him then? Obi-Wan? Obi-Wan?
Ghost Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, and the third one, all the ghost people show up.
Yeah. Oh, at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
That is not in this one.
No.
What this one does have, though, it's got the beginning of the wonderful rapport between the principal trio of cast members.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you don't know yet that Luke and Leia are related.
I feel like that's the strongest, I'm guessing, as an adult watching this again, like, I'm guessing that would be the strongest thing to me that, I might enjoy more,
mm-hmm.
is, like, how fun those three actors are actually, like, the chemistry between the three of them.
Yeah. So, how many keyboard playing elephants do you think?
That's inappropriate. That's non-canonical for this movie.
Oh. How many lightsabers? Lightsabers is boring.
How many?
Space strangles? No.
How many face droid angles. Snapchats?
Yes.
Okay.
How many would you? Do you think you're going to give this?
Ooh.
Before we rate it.
Yeah.
Oh, Bechdel.
Does it pass the Bechdel-Wallace test?
No.
No. My guess is 100% no, because I can think of two female characters.
But what if some of those Muppets are females?
Well, but they're not named, and are they having conversation? True.
Do they have to be? They have to be named in the movie, right?
Yeah,
you can't just know the name from the vast
expanded
knowledge.
Universe.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's not gonna.
I can think of the aunt.
Right, and she only talks to her husband and Luke.
Yep, and then Princess Leia,
who talks to every other character in the movie, which is a dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I feel like this movie might be like one of the movies where they talk about how it never passes. You know, like when they're explaining the Bechdel Wallace test.
Right.
Like, none of the Lord of the Rings movies or the Star Wars.
Right.
I feel like it's probably in there.
Yeah.
So I'm also going to say no.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
No.
Are there even... Oh, the aunt is named, right?
Yeah.
It's like
I
Uncle
think so.
Bill aunt. And Aunt Frida.
Uncle Joe,
Owen.
Aunt
Barbara.
I want to say Owen's aunt. Joe. It's not Joe.
Owen.
Noah?
Owen.
Owen?
Yeah.
Uncle Owen.
And something.
Aunt Margaret.
Oh, how terrible is that we can remember the uncle's name and not the aunt?
Because he probably says it more.
Oh. Uncle Ben? Nope.
That's Spider-Man.
And Rice?
And Rice.
Yeah.
All right. How many Snapchat... Did we ever get an answer out of you, David?
No, because Beth interrupted me.
To talk about women.
Yeah. Beth and I are like the light and dark side of the patriarchy tonight. Wow. I'm really worried that the reason I didn't watch this one as much is because it just really creaks along, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, a weaker movie.
So you're worried the pace is going to be...
I'm just worried, like, I will just be, like... Because, like, I have encountered multiple people, like, multiple adults who never got into it when they were kids, including my wife, who then watched them just like, these are dumb. Why do people care so much about these? And I'm wondering, and I think this is probably the one that is most likely to cause that reaction, because I think it is, like, it's a little loosey-gooseier because they had less money. They were just kind of just shot in the dark. Like, I don't know, maybe someone would enjoy this movie, you know? Whereas the other two, they're, like, more confident because people loved the first movie. And they're like, let's go crazy and put a bunch of Muppets and ships and crazy whatever. And I think they aren't as good at acting at this point because they're all youngsters.
Mm. Okay, so what number is
that? Oh, boy. I'm going to say a safe 3 with the hopes that my nostalgic...
new hope.
Yeah.
Ah.
But hopefully, like, my, like, nostalgic joy from these movies will bleed into that and bump it up, and it won't matter how shitty any elements of the movie are, because that's certainly how it worked when I was a kid.
What about you, Beth?
I'm going to say 4, because I think I'm going to really enjoy it. It's a fun movie. It's probably not my favorite movie, so no 5s.
Oh. Great. Dan?
I remember as a kid liking Ewok one the best.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they were fun Ewoks.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, and everybody like shits on the Ewoks, but it's like, hey, they're fun teddy bears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody get behind that. Anyway, that's not this movie.
They got Jawas.
There's Jawas. I like the Jawas.
Okay.
I like small things. I think I'm also going to say a 4.
Okay.
I like space movies.
Yeah.
And this is one of them to a very large degree. Yeah, I think I'm still gonna like it. I think both it's gonna be fun, and I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, Star Wars. I can see why people like these movies.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 4, a confident 4.
Okay.
Because I think nostalgia will come in and fill in some of the gaps, and I just really like Princess Leia, and I feel like that's gonna carry me.
Yeah.
Pretty far.
Are you
gonna
be bummed out that a huge part of the plot is a bunch of men saving her?
Yes.
But I think she ends up saving them.
She becomes, right?
She's with an integral the power part of love? Getting out of that space.
She's like, that's like space. Part of the fun of this whole movie is that like it has this like conventional trope of like, oh, we have to rescue the princess or whatever. But then when they actually find her, she's not grateful at all. She's just like incredibly mean to them. It's like, let's get the fuck out of here and like takes control, and it's great.
Yeah.
I am very curious. I think I'm gonna like Leia. Like, I always liked all the characters, but I think I'm going to like her way more now. Because when I was a kid, I was just like, fuck yeah, Han Solo flying a ship, shooting a blaster, friends with a giant teddy bear. And, like, I still think he's going to be awesome. But, like, now, as, like, an adult feminist, I, like, appreciate what's going on with Leia's character more.
Yeah.
So I think I'll enjoy all of her sass on a different level than I did as a kid.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
And with that, we are going to hit pause and go watch Star Wars, and we'll be right back.
Space pizza.
And we're back. We just watched 2 hours and 1 minute of the most delightful, most exciting, most wonderful Star Wars. Yes.
The first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Wars in the Stars.
Yes. He has 9, right? Like, in his brain, when he made this, he was like, I have 9 basic movies.
The nine number came out after he'd made a shit ton of money on the first 3.
Oh.
And he sort of, like, just sort of blew smoke up everybody's ass. Like, I think he had some idea of making the 1 through 3.
Sure.
But then I think the 9 was just sort of like, yeah, sure, you know?
Yeah, I'll
make all
the money.
Isn't that kind of what's happening with Harry Potter right now?
Harry Potter.
Oh, where she was like, let me also write.
Correct the pronunciation of Harry
Potter? No, I just...
Wizard, Harry.
That puppet video just popped in my brain.
Harry
puppet
Potter, video?
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
What the hell are you talking about?
Snape. Severus Snape.
What is happening?
We have never gotten off track this quickly before.
Beth knows
what I'm talking about. Put it in the newsletter. Subscribe to our newsletter, by the way.
Totesrecall.com. And
right.
You can figure out where to actually sign up.
There's a little button on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, Star Wars A New Hope.
Star Wars A New Hope.
1977.
Nailed it, right? Did I say that?
I forgot who said what.
Come on.
Said 77.
No, I wrote down, I was 76, Dan was 77. Okay. I saw you write it down
Figured we'd
deal with it later.
Good job. So,
the force is strong in this one.
None of these movies would have debuted when my mom was pregnant.
But maybe they went to like a second run.
That's possible. If they, I guess I didn't find the month for this, but if it was like late in the year, and then she was at early stages. I don't know.
I think they re-released this in theaters pretty quick, so she might have just seen it the second time around with your brother inside of her.
Mom, tweet at us.
Yes.
At Totes Recall Pod.
Win.
Hashtag, what with Dan's mom, Prego New Hope.
Too much. Oh, too much.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think we got most of the plot.
Yeah, there was space strangling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also real strangling in space.
Yeah.
Which we said both.
We were talking about just magic strangling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I was just talking about magic strangling.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't realize that there was a real strangle.
Me neither.
But there is.
But I guess
first
that was.
Strangle is real.
That was like a teaser where you're like, this dude chokes people all the time.
He can lift a dude up with one hand.
But then half, you're like, oh, he's so strong. But then half of the movie, it's like, oh, he actually has these real magic crazy powers. And that's when you first see the power of the dark side or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the power at all. Is that our first
force
of the force?
Mm, When did Obi-Wan do his creepy in the car thing, like, these aren't the droids you're looking for?
I think that was
later. I'm going to hide in my hood and just sort of gesture. Maybe that was the first part we see.
Yeah.
But that was the first time we thought
used
for,
I just want to say we just saw this movie.
But so much happened in the last, like,
hours ago,
and so much happens in the last 15 minutes where it's just like, lasers, pew, 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 and that's the part you remember, because it's awesome.
Not at one point Vader force strangles someone.
Yeah. Especially because it happens like 18 times in the second one, so it's all a blur.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay, speaking of the force, I did not realize until this viewing of it how, like, religious that is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people who, like, Han doesn't even believe that the force exists.
Yeah, he's a straight-up force atheist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I had never put together before. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joseph Campbell has a whole thing about this particular story and how it is part of the hero myth.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or well, you just no, want... he does. I don't know.
Oh, you're saying go check check your local library?
Yeah. Check, hashtag...
But specifically, like, mystic power hero, or what?
Yes.
Or you just mean, like, the journey of, like, coming from nothing and finding your obstacles and...
Yes.
Check your local library. Joseph Campbell.
Joseph Campbell, writer.
Yes. And professor, I think, maybe?
Probably. Seems like it.
Yeah, but Lucas, like, he doesn't cop, like, he cops to just being like, yeah, that's exactly what I did, because it's, that's the, easy to write a story that way.
But then, sure, but then it was very weird to me, and one of the things that was most, I mean, there was so much that was disappointing about Phantom Menace, but one of them was the whole mitochondria and the ability to just measure the blood of a person to see if they had the force. I felt like it undermined everything he had built.
Yeah, like all the mysticism was taken away. It was like, oh, there's just a little, like, I can just take a, like, a blood sample. And it's like checking your glucose levels.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would seem like that would impact a lot of things.
Right.
You know, that would become a...
How about this? Maybe if we're trying to justify those interesting choices, maybe what happened is after the Jedi Order was decimated by Darth Vader, as is described in this movie that we just watched, maybe the more scientific elements were sort of like slipped under the rug because now Vader was the last, like, you know, manifestation of this whole power, so they wanted to make it seem as, like, creepy and mysterious as possible. So they just... This is literally all I did when these movies came out. When the prequels came out, I just, like, my brain desperately tried to make sense
of
all of them. Post-apocalyptic, like, Dark Ages, all after the Renaissance.
But,
all,
like, deliberate propaganda. Yeah.
Oh.
To weaken its hold by just being like, oh, it's just as weird old mysticism.
Yeah, but then he can come in with the choke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getcha.
Yeah. Classic gotcha journalism.
Of force choking dudes. He's still pretty cool.
Darth Vader?
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great entrance.
Can we talk about that entrance and, I guess, the entire beginning of the movie? Because, like, I realized this time, one, because I haven't seen, this is the one, I've definitely not seen this one in the longest amount of time.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about when we had seen this movie last, just the first time.
Oh, boy.
Because I don't think I've seen it.
I can't remember.
As an adult.
Yeah. Even. I saw it probably, I'm sure in college at one point, my buddies and I just, like, sat around and watched all three of them.
I've watched AFI's 100 Top Films, NBD.
Is this on there?
And this is on
there.
Oh. I don't remember what number it is.
Sure. All
it's
of
like
them
70 something. Nope, just New Hope.
Because this was like the, it was a harbinger of spectacle and whatever.
Sure.
But because of that, though, like, I can't, it was so weird watching it, because, like, when you watch it now, like, you've seen the movies, you've got the context, you're like, oh, sure, C-3PO, Darth Vader, like, you know exactly who they are, what they're doing. But if you imagine seeing this when it first came out with no context, that opening is insane.
Mm-hmm.
No humans talk for like 8 minutes. It's just like the plastic gold man and his beeping friend are the only speaking characters.
Yeah, they pull you into the movie with robots.
Yeah. And then like Leia doesn't even talk at first. She just like slips into it like in the hallway. And then just some weird samurai robot shows up. And we're just supposed to go with it.
Yeah, it was really hard for me to separate... like, to watch this movie as a movie and not as Star Wars.
Right?
Like, the cultural impact is bigger than the movie itself.
Which is also why I think we look over a lot of its blemishes. Because it is, like, a very weirdly paced movie. And, like, the dialogue is sometimes pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
I was... some of the deliveries. Like, the acting is not great.
Except for Harrison Ford.
Yes. And that Guinness. Come on.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So creepy. Yeah. I brought this up during while we were watching it, but Jaquette's mention of him being a sand kook, I could not get that out of my head, and it, like, completely affected my reaction to his entire performance. Because, like, any emotion he showed in his face, I was like, ugh. Because he got kind of silly at one point. He's just like, oh, you should come with me to Alderaan. Yeah. I'll show you a good time.
Like, you're a weird uncle that's single and you don't know why.
Like, he actually plays up the creepiness more than I remembered. Because, like, they present him as like, oh, he's just some weirdo in this desert. But then he actually kind of acts like one for most of the movie.
Well, he's been hiding out alone.
That's true. He's probably got some...
Like, what does he do all day before Luke shows
bullseye
up?
Bullseye swamp rats, I guess.
That's what Luke's doing. Is he bullseye and swamp
rats?
No,
he's probably just taking a nap.
Yeah.
Or, like, meditating.
Tinkering on his lightsaber.
Ooh, yeah. Or, like, opening the chest with Luke's dad's lightsaber in it and just being like, I should really just walk over there and hand it to him.
Yeah,
like,
he's right over there.
I know where he lives.
I feel like all of the characters were different than what I thought they were watching it this time. Like, Luke, as we mentioned in the first half, is super whiny. Yeah. I did not realize how whiny
he
was.
He's a super turd.
I was like, you are the worst. Because I used to prefer him over Han Solo. Sure. And then watching it this time, I'm like, oh, Han Solo's hilarious.
All the way,
right? Yeah. He's like making jokes and like, whatever. It's Harrison Ford. But then Leia is way more, is even more BA than I thought
she
was.
Great.
I was picturing there's that one scene where the bridge is out, and so Luke and Leia have to get across
the
bridge.
Grapple hook?
Yeah, and in my head, he's like, I'll save you, and like brings her across, but she takes the gun and is like, has got his back that whole time. So it's more of a teamwork situation than it is like a dude saving her.
Yeah, I remember it the same way as you did. I remember it as him just like grabbing her around the waist and being like, let's go. And I remember like kissing her for luck or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's it. And I didn't remember that she actually was just like, just here, and just started shooting.
Yeah.
While he dealt with his weird Batman hook.
Well, and she takes over her own rescue.
Oh, it was great. That was so good.
Pretty excellent.
Yeah, I remember being a little annoyed by Leia when I was a kid.
Sure. Well, you'd been infected with patriarchal thoughts since you were born.
Girls are gross, and they shouldn't express opinion and whatever. But yeah, I really enjoyed her. She's, as we said, super sassy.
Yes.
And yeah, really takes charge. I mean, it makes sense, though. Like, she is an executive for all purposes, right? She's an ambassador and a princess, and it doesn't seem like in a... it's like a real role as princess is my perception. It's not like the Queen of England. I guess she does stuff, but you know.
Well, she was like, she's a princess.
But she's a working monarch.
Yeah, she's like of the royal family of the planet Alderaan. And then she also said she was in the Senate, which means she's like an active legislative figure in galactic politics.
Yeah.
But then she's also secretly one of the major players in the rebellion.
Yeah, she's wearing a lot of hats.
A lot of hats.
And they gotta be big hats to...
Hold that hair?
Yeah.
It's a lot of hair.
Oh, man.
There's so much disappointment among young girls who could not get their hair to do that.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I remember my mom finally just saying, you know, honey, it's a wig.
was it both
crushing and, like, really made me feel better.
Yeah, kind of validated in a way. It's like, it's not my fault.
It's not my fault that my hair just won't do this amazing
thing.
She uses
space magic.
Yeah. Ooh. Because she's force sensitive, because she's actually Darth Vader's other child, which we don't know about either of his children.
Isn't that creepy? So he doesn't realize she's his daughter until later, right?
Yeah.
Because he almost kills her twice.
Yeah.
Although he's pretty evil.
Right, he could just be like, meh, I don't know.
He might have done it anyway.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know. I think they sort of, I think in the second one they straight up, or in the third one, at some point when Luke actually knows that he's his dad, I think they straight up say, like, oh, we just took you and hid you so that he wouldn't know you were around.
Mm.
So I don't think he knows who either of them are. But maybe he senses
But he does sense it, because one time, when he's flying, I don't know, maybe it's Empire Strikes Back.
I don't know, there was definitely a couple moments that, like, with the context of the next movies, it seemed like Lucas had that idea in his head already, because, like... There's a couple lines that Luke's uncle says that are very, like, foreshadowy about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a very, you know, excellent, classically trained actor, Alec Guinness, facial reaction when Luke asked him about his dad. I can't remember what exactly the line was, but he had a very like, ooh, how do I answer this gracefully or whatever. And yeah. With that context, you know, from the later movies, it's like, oh, good for them for mm-hmm. actually... Maybe he just, like, told Alec Guinness that before, and Alec is just like, fine, whatever.
I've got a secret for you, Alec. Vader is really his father. I don't care.
Man, the sound design in this movie so good. Was amazing. Yeah. And I think, as you guys may have noticed, I really felt for R2-D2.
Mm-hmm. We're designed to, right? Oh, like, he's a scrapper.
So lovable. He's kind of like, I was thinking about it, he is sort of like the animal character.
Yes, absolutely.
In this movie, right?
Mm-hmm. He's the Abu, if you will.
Oh, the monkey from Aladdin? Yeah,
or the, I guess the monkey from most movies, actually.
But like his speech is limited to our ears.
Yeah.
And he just sort of like scampers around and like helps out.
But very emotive.
He's doing his own thing all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
R2-D2 is another character that is different than what I thought he was. Because I did look at him as kind of like a fun, like, animal-like character. But really, he's like super... He has a mission to bring that message to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And he, like, the message shows and he's like, oh, if you take this thing off, then... Then I can show you the whole message. And then he turns it off. And then he's like, what message? Yeah. Like, he's very, he's sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, he's mm-hmm. smart.
He's, like, more, he is actually more capable than Luke Skywalker for most of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, he and Leia, I think, are the most capable characters in most of the movie.
And also the sassiest.
Right?
Mm-hmm. R2.
So sassy.
It's implied he's always given sass to C-3PO. Super sassy.
Oh, and I never realized what a sad sack C-3PO is.
That was my reaction, too. Like, watching it this time as a grown-up, I'm like, oh, he's, like, legitimately just depressed. Like, he has, like, serious anxiety issues.
Yeah, he's a mess.
He's a mess!
Which I think is really... it's funny that a robot is such a mess. And then I was watching it again, like, thinking how C-3PO is a sentient machine, right? He's an android. And then they get captured by Jawas, who are essentially robot slavers.
Yeah.
Like, and it's pretty dark inside the ship, both lighting-wise, but also, like... It's like a slum in there with like robots, like half broken, just like walking around, like
just
waiting to be sold.
There was that one,
so
the
we
one,
be owned
yeah,
by
the one that
man.
Looked like a garbage can. It was like the polar bear at the zoo, where it's just like it's just going back and forth in its habitat.
It was very sad.
It was really sad.
And they attach those little trackers on it so they can't get away. I guess.
Do you think? But I mean, I guess that's how. Like, they're tools, though, right? Like, that's how you'd have to buy them.
Do we have to have this conversation?
I'm just saying, like, within the context of the people of that world, like, they were built to do something, right?
Sure, that was their perception of them.
What I'm saying is, like, how else would you find a droid? Like, do you think there's some...
At, like, a place where, like, the droid... wants to
like
be.
A temp agency
like a temp
okay,
agency
yeah okay
like those droids were like picked up off the street
yeah well I know I'm not saying it was I'm not saying it was 100% above board
it's also made me this is an interesting thing I learned recently related to this you remember like old cartoons where everybody was running away from the dog catcher
mm-hmm. yeah
you know I guess back in the day dog catchers didn't like work for the city to return your dog. They were scooping up loose animals to sell for medical research.
Oh!
Because medical research paid big bucks, and there was nothing preventing you from stealing a dog and selling it.
Right.
Whoa.
Until laws came about in, like, the 60s or 70s.
Wow.
And so the Jawas were kind of like dog catchers. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's a droid. It's ours now, and I'm going to go sell it. Even though it's, like, got free will and belonged to someone else.
Right.
Three different people.
I mean, it's pretty well established that... The planet of Tatooine is, like, just a pretty shady slum to begin with.
It's pretty lawless.
Yeah.
Also, how good a business are those Jawas doing? I feel like there's, like, moisture farms.
Yeah.
And maybe not that many. The same people who are not buying robots.
No, they're just scavengers and raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can that land ship go into the sky?
No way.
Are they just making a stop?
No way. They live there.
Who else are they selling robots
to? It's a big planet!
I don't know. I guess there's cities, right?
They go they're like
in the fields.
They're like traveling
like
merchants,
country.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At a farm, a moisture farm, which not really sure what a moisture farm is.
I think you collect the moisture in the
like water?
Air or ground,
yeah.
And then sell it for people to drink and keep plants alive.
So it's just desert. A water plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you're doing the work of finding water on that hellscape of a planet for other people.
All right.
I think is what's going on.
Fair. Yeah. I guess it makes sense you would pick a planet like that to hide out in.
Yeah, right? Well, because, like, Vader's got swagger in this movie. Like, he's not going to go to some piece of shit desert planet on the edge of the galaxy for any reason.
Yeah. Tatooine's awful.
It's really bad.
And then, darker than I remember, to have his aunt and uncle just be burned husks, like, out in front
like,
of
out in the open!
I remember that clearly.
No, and you said it. You said burned skeletons, and I was like, oh, well, sure.
Yeah, I just remembered, like, smoke coming out of their house and him being like, oh, no!
They are...
They're just right there.
Burned.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Rough.
Terrible.
But as Molly pointed out, you see the moment where he all of a sudden goes from not caring about anything, really, to being like, I have a purpose now.
Yeah, he does some good face acting.
I'm going to follow
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hamill gets a bad rap sometimes, but he was just really young back then. But he's a decent actor.
Yeah.
When you give him the right stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the best Joker ever.
Great voice of the Joker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Does a good job in the Wing Commander video games.
Okay.
There's a lot of live action cutscenes in the Wing Commander.
Attaboy.
Video games.
Oh boy
indeed. We saw the scene where the stormtrooper hit his head on the doorframe.
Oh, so good.
Delightful. I could have watched that over and
Me
over.
Me too.
Which I'm sure there's a looping gif.
Oh, I bet there is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, when it came up, like, I thought that it was just going to be like, oh, he just grazed his head, haha, like, he just didn't quite see, or, like, they didn't quite realize where the door ended. But, like, it is a straight up just, like, smack dead center of the forehead, like that dude
the sound
stopped.
Too.
Yeah, you can hear it.
You can hear it like clunk.
Yeah,
and he just stops moving. Not like he falls down, but he just like stops walking forward with the rest of the.
Actually,
extras.
A pretty incredible recovery. And if you're not absolutely looking for it,
yeah. I never saw it before.
No, I have never seen it watching the movie before. I recently had heard about it.
Yeah.
But it is like when you're looking for it, it's super obvious.
Yeah.
Like he slams his head against
it's
and it's like loud.
Like they might have had to stop tape and be like, holy shit, are you okay? Like,
but we're going to use that take.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We can't have you march out the door again.
Right. Honestly, that might have been where they were at with that movie. Like, they probably were just like, well, we spent all that money on the Muppets.
Do you think no one noticed it when they were filming?
Well, the guy had to have noticed
it. Yeah, but is he going to be like, oh, stop
yeah,
filming
right. like,
me
he's just
this
a,
extra
yeah,
suit?
Yeah, he's just like a per diem guy in a stormtrooper costume.
I mean, I don't know. I think they were just, like, it was a fine shot. Let's keep going.
Yeah. I think, I get the impression that this, I mean, you can even tell, like, if you watch the next two movies, like, this one, like, definitely looks more just, like, cobbled together. Just, like, this is insane, and they could pull our funding at any time, because this is the most bonkers thing anyone has ever seen at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what it was like to watch this movie without knowing all space movies.
Right?
You know?
Yeah, or even just to watch it without the sound and light effects.
Oh my god.
It must have come
awful.
Across as
just just cheesy garbage.
Yeah, that lightsaber fight is absolutely amazing. I guess you don't call it a fight, you would call it
a duel.
Duel.
Mm-hmm.
Is absolutely incredible, but it's all because of the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it weren't the sound, you would just see, like, Alec and just be like, eh.
Choreography is literally, right. like, right. It's
yeah.
Now the lightsaber's to the right. Now it's to the left.
Yeah.
Right.
Although Guinness pulled in a little spin move at one point, which I did not remember. We jumped so far ahead. Can we talk about Muppet Central, the cantina on Mos Eisley?
Yeah.
Because that was just as great, if not better, than I remembered it.
It was still good.
So good.
All those aliens look great.
So weird. They're all so bonkers looking.
What a fun time they must have had making all those. Like, ooh, how about this one looks like a weird tapeworm face?
Yeah, like how great must that have been for the creature people, the people who actually built them, when Lucas was like, just make them, like, just do whatever you want. Like, they don't have to be, like, weird little big-headed gray men. Like, just go nuts.
Well, probably they recycled things they already had started.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, how else do you end up with a shark head? That was the coolest.
Shark head?
Shark head.
It was like a hammerhead that you just bent its neck.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That one's great.
That was
is that the one you were talking about? Tapeworm?
Oh, yeah. Tapeworm.
That's clearly the best one.
Those things are great. Oh,
is that your guys' both your favorite one?
Well, okay.
That's tough.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
There's the guy with the butt for us.
I was just going to ask about that guy because they have to know that it's faceless.
I think it was supposed
to
look more. I think it was supposed to be more indicative of like an insect. Like if you look at like a fly or like
it was
a spider.
Kind of a walrus, but fleshy tusks.
Yeah. Oh, you thought those were tusks? Like, you think they could, like, flip open?
Just, that's what kind of looked like the...
I thought it was, like, just, like, a weird bud. But,
I mean, butt cheeks could be flesh tusks.
That's true. Ooh. Yeah, I like where this is going.
I really liked the devil alien.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. That was definitely a recycle. Weirdest. That had to have been a recycle, right?
And also, he just, like, he cuts everybody, he's, like, obviously creeping.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else is, like, doing a thing.
Do you think he's looking for some strange in the cantina?
Maybe. I'm sure he could find it. Yeah. Maybe from Buttface.
Ooh, maybe. You think Buttface is a prostitute?
I don't know.
It's a rough and tumble town.
It is. What do you call it? You said it, like, a million times when we were watching it.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Apparently, though, if you just lock the door, the stormtroopers will say, oh, the door's locked. Keep going.
Yeah. Again,
well, they're clearing the block.
And again, like, you gotta remember, these are the guys who, like, this was their assignment. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there's a moon-sized space station that's gonna fuck shit up and be, like, the legendary station. Like, you were on the Death Star, man? And they got sent to the edge of the galaxy. They're not gonna try that hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Looking for a couple of robots.
Yeah, right? That's, like... Right, like you're talking to your buddy, like, dude, we're gonna blow up a planet today. It's gonna be so cool. What are you doing? Oh, I gotta find some bucket with legs. I don't know. Like, that's probably why they burned his aunt and uncle. They were just bored.
Oof.
They're bad dudes. I mean, some of them. I'm sure some of them are just trying to get a buck. You know?
Yeah. Are they? I mean, they're all clones, right?
No, not anymore.
Not at this point?
No, you guys? Come on.
Wasn't that the whole Clone Wars thing? They're all Boba Fett?
They are.
No, they're Jango.
But Boba's Jango also... Fett. God, fuck that movie. Okay. They're not clones anymore, because that would be insane. Because then there wouldn't be a stormtrooper outfit that could fit Luke if he's shorter than most of the other stormtroopers.
Well, it didn't fit him well.
Yeah, but he was still like, you know.
But wait.
And they have different voices and stuff.
Why do they?
Because they're not all clones anymore.
But they were at one point.
Yeah.
In like episode
two. Attack of the Clones. Even though they attack no one, they actually defend a bunch of things.
And then oh, that didn't work out? We'll just recruit normal people?
Well, probably what happened is they were just like, man, these guys are really annoying.
Oh, man, the nerds are going to be so mad.
I know. But no, they can't be clones anymore because, controversy, there is a black man holding one of the helmets in the new movie.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, okay. So you had said earlier that you had a problem with the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
I have a problem with you having a problem with it. It was a great cartoon.
I'm not saying it didn't... Okay.
I got bored.
Thank you. My issue with it was the same issue I had with the prequel movies. Because sometimes they would introduce things where it's just like, if this is real, then why didn't that in any way come into play in the first movies? Because that should have been a game changer. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't care.
They looked cool.
They did look cool. Wait, which one are we talking about? The computer anime one that looked like the old Flash?
Oh, no. The one that Gendy did.
Oh, no, that one was awesome.
Okay.
I'm talking about the one that went on for like 8 years with just like, oh, my tentacle apprentice has to go to the magic... Right?
Yeah, that's the one I got.
Are we back on board?
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
That one was awesome.
Okay.
I love that guy.
Cool. That was awesome.
No, I'm talking about
what you guys are talking about.
The nerds are eating this up. Or they're angry. They might be angry.
They're so angry. They gave up a long time ago.
Yeah. I want to talk about quotes.
Yes.
For lack of a better word.
Sure.
But, for me watching this, there were so many sound clips that popped out for me because... when my brother and I were hanging out on our Macintosh computer back in the 90s, I don't know why, we just had a bunch of Star Wars clips. I don't know if we made a theme, I think we themed our Mac thing, so like, when you like opened a window, it would play a Star Wars clip.
Yeah, do you remember when that was like one of the cooler things you could do with a desktop computer?
Yes.
And so, whenever one of those played, it was like, it felt to me very out of place, because I had heard it a billion times just alone. Like, I want them alive would always happen.
So
I don't know.
So when you watched the movie just now, you just kept hearing like, that's my old computer.
Yeah, kind of. It was really weird.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I remember downloading sound packs and icons. A lot of Star Wars icons.
Yep. Themes. You could get Star Wars themes.
Yeah.
Yeah. because it was pretty cool, you guys. Windows 3.1, get those Star Wars icons.
Customize your look.
But you could do that now, too, right?
Oh, sure. Super easy.
Yeah, but...
In, like, 1 second.
Who cares now? Right? I get annoyed when there's sounds. Like, I just have Windows 10, and it's making noises when I click on files, and I haven't bothered to figure out how to turn it off.
But I'm sure it can be hard, right?
It can't be, but I just have to figure it out.
Ooh, I bet our angry nerd listeners could tell you. That's right, nerds.
Here's another fun fact that maybe is true, that I think I remember from reading Carrie Fisher's book about...
Postcards from the Edge?
Maybe.
I saw that movie like 3 times.
Does she have more than one book?
I thought she did have a couple of books, didn't she?
I don't know. It was one of them that was autobiographical.
Yeah.
But I guess she was instructed not to wear a bra because they didn't have bras in the future or the past. In the universe.
Right.
Which is so weird and gross.
Yeah, it is.
But like in this universe, there aren't bras. So don't wear a bra, Carrie.
Part of me,
I don't know if that's true.
Part of me desperately wants that to not be true. But part of me really hopes that you just because it's like so shallow and stupid. But like just the way they went about it, it's like, well, in this space universe,
like technology has advanced so far that you don't need bras anymore.
Wait, what does that mean?
Don't wear them. I don't know.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Devil's advocate here. Is it because society has gone beyond a point where women are no longer.
Liberated.
Constrained.
They're,
yeah, they're liberated.
Yeah.
But is there... Okay, you guys as women.
Yes.
if you're like running around like space battling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're just loose and free up top. Is that less comfortable? I have heard women complain that it is painful.
Right. She had no support in what she was wearing, around. Too, because she had like a pretty loose like tunic thing on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was just wearing flowing robes.
Yeah.
The thing she did have going for her that other action stars don't is her hair was out of her face.
That's true.
Whenever I see an action star with her hair down, I'm like, seriously, anybody
just,
would
pull just
it,
put it back.
Ponytail.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
At least put it back.
It's unrealistic to the point of it just makes me angry.
Yeah.
In the same way when people don't fasten their seatbelts because all of those cars are not designed for the actors to be able to put on seatbelts.
Right. How about when no one says goodbye to each other on the phone?
That makes me sad.
It's weird,
too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand it's unnecessary.
Unless you're Han Solo communicating with the command post from the detention center and do your damnedest to be a little play acting. I had totally forgotten about that scene.
That was great.
But it was maybe the best scene in the movie.
So good, where he's like pretending to be the commander.
And he even like, I mean, Harrison Ford, like he even like put his voice up a little bit. Like he gave it a little like,
yeah.
He like effeminized his voice a little when he was like, oh, everything's fine.
I like how he goes for everything's fine too. We have a cooling reactor.
Fatal radiator leak or whatever.
Don't go. We're fine.
And how are you?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Boring conversation anyway.
He's such a charmer.
That made me laugh.
Guys.
Mm-hmm. Made me laugh for real. Yeah. Good job, Star Wars.
Right?
He has some terrible lines.
But he
and
just
he delivers
like,
them so beautifully.
He is, and this might also be something that I heard, but like you, Dan, might not actually be true. But supposedly, Harrison Ford was once heard to be heard on set talking to George Lucas when they were filming the scene regarding the script. Like, George, you can write this shit, but you can't say it out loud. and that was definitely one of the, like, blemishes that your nostalgia sort of glosses over. Is like, a lot of it is, like, very, like, high, you know, this very dramatic, poetic dialogue that, like, seems out of place sometimes, except when Alec Guinness is saying it.
Yeah, although I think, honestly, one of my favorite monologues I've never noticed before is when the rebel fighters are gathered and getting their instructions on how to go about trying to destroy the Death Star. And it is the most... Like, the actor delivering the information just honestly looks like he just got his sides, like, that day or the day before. And he's like, I don't know what any of this means. There was zero context.
I feel like the entire rebel leadership was just like, those might have been the janitors of, like, the sound studio. Like, guys, come here.
They may not speak English. They might just be, like, saying sounds that they know they have to
Princess
say.
Princess Leia. And the...
Blah, blah, blah. Death Star, take
Wasn't that
them.
Part of the reason Alec Guinness was so pissed at these movies? Because he's just, like, having to say this bullshit, and now that's all people remember him by?
Probably.
Because there are definitely, if you were paying attention, there were definitely a couple moments before the camera cut away, You can sort of see his face fall after he...
This is garbage.
Yeah. Speaking of listeners, there is a... This might have even come up before in the show for some reason, but there is a beautiful clip floating around the internet where Ewan McGregor is clearly trying not to laugh while saying some of his dialogue in one of the prequel movies. And it is, like, you don't notice it until it's pointed out to you, but, like, you can just see his, like, lips, like, start to, like, try not to curl up into a smirk. And it's about, like, children dying, too. Like, it's, like, supposed to be, like, this very serious moment.
Yeah, I remember being infuriated by the dialogue in the prequels.
Me too.
And this one, not as much.
Well,
I don't know if it gets a pass or if it's not as bad.
I think there might be just less dialogue in this one. Because the thing with the prequels is they were all written by George Lucas, right? And they are way wordier because, as Molly pointed out, there's a lot of, like, embargoes and blockades that need to get hashed out in the first couple movies. Whereas The Empire and Jedi were written by other people, or, like, co-written by other people, and directed by other people. So that's why they seem like slightly better movies. Because George Lucas is a great ideas man and is super good at encouraging people to make cool tapeworm Muppets, but when that dude has to straight up be in charge of telling a story, he is not, should not be your first choice, as we've learned.
It's interesting. So I worked at Cartoon Network during that first Clone Wars, the good animated series.
All, for the record, agreed is good, and no one has to be mad at Dan.
And it was fascinating because they each started with a 1940s style announcer.
Oh, right.
Doing a bunch of exposition.
Yeah.
And that was a George Lucas must be in every single episode mandate. But then what was amazing about working with Lucasfilm is that the people you had access to get information from could just say, well, George said no. And there's no, how do you go about proving or disproving
the
existence of George, much less the existence of a yes or no. So you just had to be like, well, I guess we'll do it the long way then. Thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Oh, yeah, because they could do that if they just didn't want to talk to you at that point.
Absolutely.
Like, they just wanted to go to lunch. Like, oh, George said no. That's amazing. Yeah.
Because it was, you know, there's no appeals process.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. That guy, am I right?
Maybe now you could be like, called Disney Vice President of Space Merchandising.
Yeah.
Get him on the phone immediately.
Walt's frozen head said no.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I love C-3PO.
Yes! Thank you.
I don't remember having strong feelings, maybe a little annoyed with him when I was a child, but he's so great.
I think you probably are retroactively annoyed with him because he had some of the worst lines in the prequel movies. Because his entire job in the prequel movies was to say horrible puns.
Yeah. But he's like... Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Somebody stop me.
No, that is Jim Carrey's The Mask. We should probably watch that later.
But the Anthony Daniels kills it.
Oh, so good.
Right? Yeah. Not everybody's killing it. Most people are not.
That's correct. Killed it. Yeah, he was so good at being like he's such a, I don't know, like you... Like, it's so cool, like, from his voice performance, like, all you have is his limited arm movements, no facial expression, but through his voice and, like, what little gestures he can make, because he was in that Plastic Gold Man suit.
Yeah. So much personality.
Yeah, like, he's, like, this incredibly fussy, like, depressed robot, and you get all that.
Yeah.
And his relationship with R2-D2 is so complicated.
Oh, and so sweet.
Yeah. Like, they clearly like each other a lot, but, like, oh, man, you can tell they, like, just...
They spent a lot of time together.
They clearly spent way too much time in,
like,
locked closets hiding from stormtroopers.
Yeah. They're kind of like a classic comedy duo.
Yes.
Like an Abbott and Costello type. Except we only hear one talk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard to, like, just talk about this movie. Because it's so hard to, like, disassociate it from everything else that has happened since.
Yeah.
But I can totally... I don't know. It's weird, because it was, like, it's not the best-paced film.
It's real slow in the middle.
It's real slow.
And I was walking around getting ice cream, whatever.
And so you didn't miss shit, except you did almost miss the sand person doing his cool...
That's one of my favorite parts, is when the sand person shakes his stick
and goes... whatever.
When you say that it's slow, though...
Yes.
Is it slow because you already know all the information that they're trying to convey in that amount of time? There's a lot of information that they're trying to get across.
But there's also a lot of them just, like, looking at each other... And speeding across things.
That's emotions that need to be conveyed for us to get the full effect.
What information are they conveying?
Clone Wars.
Okay.
I forgot that that was mentioned many times in this movie. Mm-hmm. The slow section that we're talking about is...
I mean literally, I'm talking about like basically the first half of the movie.
Okay. Well, they're establishing all the characters.
Right.
And they're trying to establish an entire, like, universe.
Yeah.
Like, look at all these things that are happening.
Right.
People can travel between planets.
Yeah.
And then also there are all these aliens and there's Jedis and the Force.
Right.
And all of this.
Like, I
they
get
have
it.
A lot of stuff
I
to,
understand that. I'm just...
Well, I'm yelling at you.
Okay. I'm saying...
You'll be dead.
What I'm saying is I am... It surprises me watching it again and realizing how slow and expository the first, like, 45... I mean, it's not till, like, minute 45 that, like, lightsabers start happening and,
wait,
like, spaceships start...
knocked in and there's shooting and stuff. A lot of stuff happens.
At the beginning, yeah, when we've got Princess Leia dealing with Vader, but then it's just like, now I'm in the desert. Now I'm going to be the creepy sand cook for a while. Let me explain to you your father. Silence. You should go to Alderaan and be on an adventure with me. Silence.
I mean, that is a very compact advancement of the whole story.
I agree.
As he goes from, well, it's sucky, your whole family is gone, and you have no future here. Let's just go ahead and jump ahead to the thing.
Yeah.
And I just also want to add, though, you can't really cut out even a lot of that business with the uncle. Because without that, you don't understand how Luke has ended up the way that he is, or why Obi-Wan would not have reached out to him.
Yeah. I'm not saying any of it.
Why do you hate this movie?
I'm saying, if you'd let me finish, what I'm saying is I'm surprised people dealt with it enough. Like, could deal with that because there's so much, unless you bought into, like, this is why adults now who didn't see it but know about it so much about pop culture, some of them, like my wife, are just like, this is dumb. Because if you don't buy into all the bonkers shit that's happening in this incredibly slow-paced film, you're not going to give a shit.
Maybe it's just your wife.
It's not.
Okay. When this movie came out in 1977...
Right, and that's what I'm wondering if that's what it was. It was just, like, so, like, just weird, like, and different and spectacle.
Yeah, all that stuff is amazing. And you would watch it... You would watch the entire thing without dialogue because they're, like, on... They're in space.
Yeah.
And that is an alien that you've never seen before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That space fighter is what?
Right. No, I get it. I'm just... I didn't realize... Like, I just didn't remember it being that...
Yes.
Yeah. Because even compared to the other movies, I'm saying, like, Empire is a fucking, like, clip everywhere. They're just rolling through, like, frosty ice planet, space walking robots, Vader's killing people all over. There's a crazy Yeti. Now go to the thing. There's an adorable puppet, but now you go into a cave and have to kill yourself, but you're your dad. Oh, now there's a cloud man and a robot, and Boba Fett's there. Ooh, and there's a giant worm in the asteroid. This all happens, and the movie's like the same length as this one, is what I'm saying. And I understand that all the setup is done.
Totes Recall bonus episode.
Just that?
Yeah.
That is way more stuff. I never thought about how much stuff happens in Empire.
Right? That's why it's great. The best one. Come at me, nerds. It's the best one.
I think that's a pretty popular
held belief. It is, actually.
That's the common
common
favorite.
Yeah. Because it's fun. And this one was fun, too, but there was just I was surprised at how much of the fun was, like, at the back end of the movie.
Yeah. Once they bust Leia out...
Then it gets, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what I'm thinking, like, that's when it starts to get real good. Because we get all the blasters, we get Hondu, and it's a delightful conversation with the thing. We get the droids doing something other than just walking around being sad.
They're in hijinks.
They're in hijinks all over the place.
I like the trash compactor scene.
Yeah.
And Molly's had a 180 reaction where the weird trash worm that almost kills Luke pops his little eyeball out, and you went... It was like, ew, and then immediately, oh, cute. Like, nothing changed.
It was like, fear, was like, ah, oh, it's cute.
Yeah. Molly, you had like a surprisingly visceral response to a lot of this movie that you've ostensibly seen more than once. Like the part where they're buying C-3PO from the slave traders.
Oh,
yeah. Like they're buying a different R2 unit, and Molly was like vocally, audibly shouting at the TV, wrong one. That's the wrong one.
Yeah, you don't want to break up robot friends.
You don't.
Can I tell you what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a kid. This is, ooh, devotees of the show will understand that this is the, this is like a preface moment of why my brother and I rudely made our mother not sit with us when we watched Jurassic Park in theaters. Because we both remembered vividly when we watched Return of the Jedi on television once, on a special television event, because I used to do that. There was a point in the spoilers for a 30-year-old, 40-year-old movie. At the end of Return of the Jedi, when the Emperor is shooting Luke with his crazy force lightning, and Luke is like legitimately like smoking and screaming in pain, and Vader's just standing there. My mom like first was just like cringing and like groaning audibly every time they cut to Luke like squirming around with lightning, and then she at one point shouted at the TV, "Go get him, Darth Vader!" And we're like, "Mom, you've seen this movie like 15 times," and that's when we knew. Sometimes you just can't watch a movie with your mom.
Wait a minute. Are you saying I'm like your mom?
I'm saying...
You don't want to watch a movie?
No. I'm saying that it reminded me of that because you are shouting at this movie as if you do not know the results of that scene.
But... So haven't you ever bowled? Like, you know when you...
Like the game of bowling?
Yes, okay. You know when you bowl...
10-10? Yeah.
Even when it's going towards the gutter,
yeah.
Sometimes you're part like, of you just tries to wave it over as if it will matter.
But you're not bowling the exact... You're not watching a video of the thing you just bowled.
Right. Like, that's a live
happening
event.
Live.
That
yeah.
is physics happening in front of you. This is something that was filmed and edited and cut for time.
Yeah, 40 years ago.
Some effects were probably put in. Well, some effects were put in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of that... Han, not only did he shoot first, he was the only one that shot.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great, though. There was nothing wrong with that
great.
Scene.
Yeah. And I misspoke. It was not that Greedo was secretly hiding a gun. It was that he literally walked into the scene pointing a gun at Han Solo and never moved it.
Yeah. Oh, Han Solo's super casual exterior,
amazing,
though.
Amazing, right?
Oh, so good.
He's a charming rogue.
He is.
That vest. Can we talk about his vest game in this movie?
His vest game is on point.
On point.
On fleek.
No.
Oh, that's for eyebrows.
That's for eyebrows.
Only eyebrows?
Yes.
I think it...
It started with eyebrows.
We talked about this before.
Tweet at us with what with that fleek.
Because I know Nikki on fleek. Is she only talking about her eyebrows?
I hope so. That'd be amazing.
Have we had this literal exact conversation before?
I think we have.
Has it been on the podcast?
I think so.
I hope so. God, I hope so.
Please tweet at us with what with that deja vu.
No.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Harrison Ford was great.
Yeah.
He's still great. He's great. This is one of the arguments of why, like a broader argument of why the prequels were not as enjoyed by people who weren't little children when they came out, is that there's no Han Solo in those movies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's no just like fun dude who's kind of detached from things, but is still actively involved. Like you just get random characters are just given jokes in the newer movies. Like Ewan McGregor will just suddenly say something silly, and it's just mm-hmm. like, no, don't be the creepy younger sand cook the whole time. Don't say a weird joke.
Come on, let's go. To
or like C-3PO just said, like I said, like there's a whole scene. There's like 20-minute scene in one of the prequels where C-3PO just makes puns. Like that's all he's doing is commenting on his situation with dumb jokes. But if he had just written some character to be like just like a cool bro or something.
Who would have been the cool bro?
I don't know.
Qui-Gon.
Ooh, sure. I would love to see Liam Neeson be like wearing a vest, but still with the crazy hair that goes down to his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some like Taken level Qui-Gon Jinn.
Ooh, like he like drops his lightsaber and just starts wailing on a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not quite what we were describing. That's not really Han Solo's gig, but maybe. Mm-mm. I'm just saying, like, the...
He's probably wailed on some dude.
Oh, definitely. I'm not saying he wouldn't wail on some dude. I'm saying if he knew how to use a lightsaber, though, he'd probably use a lightsaber. You gotta remember, this is the same guy.
But you have to be Force-sensitive to use a lightsaber. As someone who's played the Star Wars RPG, I know you're not allowed to use a lightsaber unless you have Force skill.
But Han Solo uses it in the second one to cut open that animal that Molly wanted to see.
Yeah.
Well, he's not fighting with it. Maybe only to fight with it. Because he's using it as like a crude
tool. That's bullshit.
Tool.
That doesn't mean anything.
Like, you're going to chop your own arm up.
Oh, I see. You have to be, so you just have to use the force the same way he used the force to shoot into the exhaust port, because you're just more aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
You just need to use the force so you don't kill yourself.
I believe so.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I buy that.
He does cut open that animal, though.
Yeah, he does.
I did worry a little when Luke Skywalker was trying out his lightsaber for the first time.
Oh, did he just like...
Yeah, I was like, this movie could end very differently.
But he could sense the force was strong in him, Molly.
Everybody guess so. It's still could a sense. Lot of trust.
It is a lot of trust.
Yeah, have... I was worried he's just like turn it on like right in him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know.
That's true.
I mean, that wasn't the script that was written, but...
Maybe there was an earlier draft where he like burned himself really bad.
Oh, my hand.
But then it's foreshadowing. Okay.
Foreshadowing?
Ooh.
He... So in his moment, in Luke's moment, where he is grumping to his aunt and uncle,
yeah.
He wants to go hang out with his friends, but what he's going to do is go into town to pick up some power converters.
Yeah.
Is that what he does with his friends? Like, that's the line. Like, I was going to go to town to pick up some power converters.
But there was another line. Like,
you can hang out with your friends later.
There was another line that were like, his best friends had already gone to the academy.
So this is like second tier friends where he just gets power converters.
You know what it is?
Together?
It's probably like the neighborhood kids, and he's like the weird older kid who just like needs something to do.
So he's buying parts?
They probably like build little robots or something. I don't know.
Speeder or whatever.
Ooh, land speeders.
Oh, land speeders.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe he's going to soup up that speeder.
Maybe.
Which
oh, maybe he's racing like American Graffiti style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
his dad.
Or the races in the first one.
Pod
what
racing.
Were those called?
That
pod racing.
That poor kid.
Oh, boring.
That land speeder still looks cool.
It does. Yeah. The effects hold up pretty well.
Even the effects look cool, but like, I don't know, just the style of it. I like
yeah,
the design of it.
The design is super cool.
It's like a
I think that, I mean, Oreo like Molly said, like, I think half of the reason this whole phenomenon just like took root in our culture so deeply was a lot of it had to do just with the design of things. Like the visual mm-hmm. design and the sound design was just like so unique
mm-hmm.
and appealing or something. It was just like some magic combination of people
yeah.
that just created this like incredibly compelling just thing on the screen. Like even with like the new movie, which I'm still completely like neutral on, watching the trailers though, like it's still cool to see that shit again. It's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that's why I like these movies, because they're just neat to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the sand people yaks.
Yeah, those were cool. Great.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. And those are just like weird Muppets.
Yeah.
They are totally Muppets.
Yeah.
Like they look like Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
in
one
the best
especially.
Way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a floppy.
Did you know, fun fact, for a movie we didn't watch, that there were like five or six people inside the Jabba the Hutt puppet in the third one, and one dude's job was just to smoke a pipe so that smoke would come out of Jabba's mouth when he smoked his pipe. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Did we talk about the Bechdel-Wallace test already?
Not in this part.
It won't take long.
So, it did not pass the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Correct.
And we even explored, is R2-D2 a girl?
Right.
And nope.
He is named as a he bot.
By C-3PO. But maybe C-3PO doesn't know.
Maybe all droids are male. Because we live in a patriarchal society, so they're just like, they're boys. Like, when they manufacture the droids.
So they can't procreate and rise up against
ooh,
us.
Ooh, yeah. But, you know, life...
finds a way.
Finds a way.
Finds a way. Ooh, I would see Robo Jurassic Park.
I would see Jeff Goldblum in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Get on it.
Get him a vest.
J.J. Abrams.
Oh, my.
He would rock a
vest. Han Solo.
He would rock a vest. So, oh, he could play, like, Han Solo's, like, cool cousin or something in the new movies.
Oh, man.
They're probably about the same age, right? Close enough?
Probably.
Yeah.
I bet he's a little younger.
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Like, he's like his like dork cousin, but he's like, now he's old and cool and rocking a vest.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be amazing. Get on it, whoever's directing episode 8.
He's got space experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Independence Day.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Chewbacca's really cool.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I know we all know that, but...
we all know. Guys, we all know Chewbacca's cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Beth...
Did you not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, how can you deny that coolness with when Han says that when a Wookiee loses, they'll tear off your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he puts his hands behind his head.
That was amazing. I totally forgot about that move. What was that move?
Yeah, I'm super violent.
He was. No, he's very
gentle.
He's a gentle
giant.
Chewbacca
never hurts anybody, not even in the scary bar.
I mean, he shoots lasers at people.
But he shoots them at, like, stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Defense.
Which are people, not clones, as we established.
Does Chewbacca have the Force? That would be really cool.
I don't think so.
Force Baca?
That would be awesome, though.
Force Baca? Or as Obi-Wan called him, Force Baca.
Force
Baca. He straight up said Chewbacca, right?
He did, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chewbacca. There was a couple, Princess Leia.
Leia's.
Sorry. I'm used to saying
and
it
then
correctly.
And then in the later movies, there's this delightful thing where, like, Billy Dee Williams, he pronounces Han Solo so intensely, like more, like there's always been some wiggle room, I feel like, with that name, but he just goes, like, so hard in one direction every time, like Cold 45, and it's amazing.
Man.
Billy Dee. Have you guys seen that gem that is the Star Wars Christmas special?
No,
yes.
God, I want to.
It's so bad.
I want to see it.
It's pretty
bananas. I bet
bananas.
It's on YouTube, right? No, I'm sure Disney shuts that down every time, right?
Yeah, I bet you can find it.
I'm sure I can find it.
A lot of Wookiees in that.
The internet is a, what is it again?
It
a seedy place of...
A wretched hive of salmon.
Yeah, that's what the internet is, and I can find the Christmas special because of that.
Yeah, but you'll be dead.
You'll be sad. It is terrible. It's
I've heard.
Like, you think it's going to be terrible in a fun way. It's not. It's terrible in a painful way that also makes you regret your own childhood memories.
Oh.
And I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
Also, Chewbacca dies in the books, right?
What?
Eventually, yeah.
But they're retconning that for something?
Retconning? What?
Molly.
What, did you,
we just watched
what
a Star
said?
War, and you don't know what retconning is?
Retconning?
Yeah.
I totally know what that means.
Continuity?
Is that
what
that means? So when they go back and they're like, forget about this stuff that happened. Now this is
It's like a bunch of this. Well, it's like we were saying.
I understand
saying
what retroactive continuity would be.
Retcon is what
retcon
you call
is what the,
I
cool
didn't know
kids,
that.
The cool kids call it.
Yeah.
That's like what you're playing with
read
the prequels, where it's
book.
Just like, no, it's not mysticism, it's secret nano organisms in your blood. Oh, actually, C-3PO was built by this annoying child 30 years ago.
Oh, here's something about annoying blood robots.
Okay.
Or whatever they are. I think part of the reason that's annoying, the reasons you listed, but also it changes the movie a bit from, like, a space fantasy to just, like, a straight-up sci-fi movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think I always enjoyed, that this movie was, like, a sci-fi movie, but also kind of like still a fantasy movie where there's like swords and magic and stuff.
Like genre-obsessed people will always argue that Star Wars is a fantasy set in space. It is not a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with them, but shut up also.
See, that's how I feel, and that's why I always, like, I'm always concerned that I'm coming off as completely disingenuous in this entire episode. Because I keep making fun of nerds. But I love Star Wars. I was obsessed with it as a kid. I know way too much about it. I played a ton of the video games. Like the other, you know, that are all just like, here, ooh, what if you were this guy? Like, that's literally the appeal of half those games. It's like, remember this one guy in this part of the movie? Now you get to be him for 3 hours or whatever. So, like, this had a very formative effect on my childhood, on how I feel about genre and story. Mm-hmm. And character, but I can also see that sometimes it's real dumb, and I can't disparage people for not really getting into it.
I guess so. I was thinking too, like, watching Han Solo get into his ship towards the end, that I was like, oh, he's Captain Mal from Firefly.
Right.
Like that, and these
and
can both...
That's a space western.
Yeah.
It's a space western, yeah, exactly. But there is a certain swagger, you know, that story goes nowhere.
Molly just fell asleep on the table.
Oh, wow.
They both have space swagger?
And vests? Don't they both have vests?
Yes.
Do they?
I think they both have vests. Tweet at us, wear dem vests.
Ooh. I would have done a what with dem.
Oh, sorry.
But then,
sorry.
No, it was your
I'm
hashtag.
Retconning.
It's your hashtag.
This is my special edition 1997 hashtag.
Wear dem vests. is it? Well, that's some good wordplay in there. How are you spelling wear? W-H-E-R-E or W-E-A-R?
Oh, I don't even know. Your tweeter's choice. It's tweeter's choice.
First one to tweet gets to decide how that hashtag goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you can be a trendsetter.
Get on it.
You can be
get
like...
Get out your phone right now.
Yeah. Right now. We'll wait.
Open up Twitter.
Yep. Sign in if you're not automatically sure. Signing in.
At new tweet, compose. At toastreecall.pod. That's giving us the wrap up sign.
That's giving the I'm sick of this sign.
Cool. Well, just one last thing that I wanted to mention is we got to watch the trailer at the beginning of the VHS tape. The cover was baffling, by the way. I'll just post that in the newsletter.
Of the tape?
Of the tape. It's I don't know who those people are, but it's like a fantasy novel.
It does look like a a romantic or one of those like
romance novels.
Yeah, kind
like
of.
The pulp fantasy novels.
But yeah, but
are they all like off pulp model? Fiction. They don't look like the actors at all.
Nothing.
Oh, good.
And like Luke is ripped and holding up a sword like He-Man, and Princess Leia is all sexy and like totally different person's face.
Yeah.
Anyway, highly recommended. But at the beginning of the preview, the tagline was, "May the trilogy be with you at the lowest price."
Oh, yeah.
Like, somebody needed to work harder on that copy.
So
that is one thing, though, that we should acknowledge for, like, as much as we talk about how, like, oh, it's the zeitgeist of pop culture and the sound design and whatever. Like, another reason that this has gotten taken such deep root in our culture is they marketed the shit out of this stuff. When this first movie took off, they went nuts. Toys, like, just, they started, like, spewing out toys immediately. You can find, like, ridiculous old commercials from the 70s for, like, get Luke and his land speeder. And, like, they created insane amounts of merchandise. I mean, there's a reason that Disney thought it was reasonable to offer George Lucas $4.2 billion for the rights to this franchise.
Yeah. Wait. What?
Yeah.
That's how much that sold for?
Yes. He took $4.2 billion with a B dollars to give them the rights to the Star Wars franchise.
Well, yeah, he did.
Right?
Oh, my God. That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean...
I think he gave a lot of it away to charity, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I would hope so.
And then also, here's my fun George Lucas fact of recent times.
Ooh.
He wanted to expand the... Not the Neverland Ranch. What's his compound called?
Skywalker.
Skywalker Ranch.
Yep.
And the community that he lives in was like, no, you can't do that. That's an eyesore. So instead, he's building low-income housing.
Oh.
Out in, like, the rich area of California.
Okay, an eyesore, are you kidding me? Those properties are incredible. Yeah. Like, all the parking is underground. They look like they're floating.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
So he's spiting yuppies?
Yeah, he's sticking it to rich people.
That's hilarious.
It's low-income housing in that part of California is still going to be, like, half $1 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
Before we rate the movie ourselves, do you have a 5-star rating of the podcast?
I do. It's time for that segment in which we read a 5-star review of our podcast on iTunes.
Right.
Or another place, although tweet at us if you leave it anywhere else.
Right,
because
we will not see it. We will not see it.
In the voice of someone from the movie or Nick Cage.
Right.
Who is not in this movie.
No, I God.
But what if he
was? Okay, episode 8. T. Hanks, Nick Cage,
Jeffy G.
This would make a $4.2 billion alone.
So is anybody feeling inspired by this movie in particular?
I mean, I can do the Sancook voice if you want.
Yeah, that's what I had in my mind.
Sure.
All right.
Number 12.
Number 12. Okay, I have to get into creepy, hide in the car.
Creepy hand.
Pretend I'm wearing a really long hood. Awesome cast from Lurkter Games. Dudes and dudettes, y'all need to listen to this podcast. It is great fun and fills time in the workday really well. I found it because Danjaquette was also on a magic podcast, so we need to get the word out. Keep it up, you four. That's it.
Is that it?
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Lurkter Games. You should join me on an adventure on Alderaan with our special laser swords. Also, Bridge on the River Kwai, available on Blu-ray, I assume.
Probably.
It's a great movie, actually.
Yeah.
You guys should see Bridge on the River Kwai.
Solid. That magic podcast is Magic the Amateur.
Ooh.
So go check that out.
Sure.
I'm on a couple Not that many.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
No big deal. Must be nice. Wow. Get invited to other podcasts.
I played Magic 20 years ago.
Wait, is that your level of expertise?
Pretty much.
Cool.
Cool. Do we want to talk about how we rated it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Dan, you gave it a safe 3. You were worried about the pace and that it wouldn't be as
I did.
Fun.
I was worried. I still I don't know. I still really enjoyed watching it, but I also still to this day I retain my opinion as a child where if I was going to just sit down and watch a Star Wars movie for the 8 millionth time, it would not be this one. So I will gump it up to 4.5.
Oh.
Droid. What was it? Droid Snapchats?
Yes.
All right. 4.5. With a point off, half a point off for it being a little slow, but I'm not going to talk about it because Beth will yell it.
Beth, you gave it a 4.
I enjoyed it a lot, and I got more out of it than I had in previous viewings. So I think I'm also going to add a half a star.
Yeah.
So 4.5.
All right.
Look, we've come together in the end.
Yay.
Yes. Like Han and Luke.
4. Mm-hmm. Again, like it being on the AFI list, it's hard to separate it as a standalone movie from its importance. So I feel like I wouldn't give it a 4 just like as a movie.
Yeah.
But maybe the fact that it is Star Wars bumps it up there, so I think I'm going to hold it 4.
Okay. Steady at 4.
Good. 4's good.
4's really good.
Yeah. Wasn't blowing my socks off. It's no big.
Right, exactly.
Molly, you gave it a 4 as well. A confident 4.
Yes.
I did. And I really enjoyed this movie a great deal. I felt very swept up in it. And I was sitting here thinking about what makes a 5-star movie.
Yeah.
And part of it is it just surprising me in a way and making me more excited than I thought I would be. So, for example, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right.
Was definitely a 5. Can I say in good conscience that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids deserves 5 and Star Wars deserves 4?
Yeah, they're completely different systems. This is droid Snapchat,
and that was God knows.
Who knows? Shrunken ants?
I think it was scorpions.
Little Debbie's
magnifying
pies?
Magnifying glasses.
Yeah.
Or something. Check the archives, listeners. Yeah.
And did Molly give it a 5?
We don't know. It seems like I probably did.
Yeah.
So I want to give
this
a...
But they're completely different scales.
Yes, exactly.
I have to bump it up at least a little. I'm going to say 4.25.
So less than what we gave it.
But okay, more than
4.5.
I
don't know. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think just if go, I were to go
just
and watch...
Use your feelings, Molly. If you feel a 5-star review, feel the 5.
I don't feel a 5.
Okay.
No. So, yeah, 4.5.
Well, apparently I hated it.
Thank you for listening to Totes Recall. New episodes drop on the 15th of every month. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Totes Recall Pod. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. It helps more people find the show. Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan Jaquette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. For more information, check out noisepicnic.com/totesrecall.